Marcus, don't know if you've had a chance to have a look at this one yet, but well-known online betting company Sportsbet early this week, last weekend, released a new TV ad, and it basically blew up earlier this week using, you might remember, disgraced Olympic sprinter Ben Johnson from 88 Games. One gold was later disqualified for using steroids.
Yes, I have seen it.
Are you a fan?
I must admit, I find it funny. Someone taking the mickey out of themselves. Yes, he's a cheat, and he was disgraced. But was it back in, did you say, LA Olympics?
Yeah, 88.
Oh, that's Seoul Olympics?
Oh, okay.
Or was it 84 LA Olympics?
I should have researched.
Anyway, 35, 40 years ago.
Time has passed.
To me, yeah, I found it funny. Number one, he's taking the mickey out of himself. Number two, he's out of shape, as you are when you're 30 years, 35 years on.
Talk is he got 200 grand to do it.
Wow. Wow. How long does a person get punished for being a cheat?
Yeah, well, he's probably done his time. I'm not so much interested in him as Sportsbet, who have copped a bit of heat for the ad because it basically uses, sort of makes light of performance enhancement. There's some, you know, sly references to Lance Armstrong and Chinese swimmers. But the thing that I would say about it is, on the level of a TV ad, it is a surefire gold-plated jackpot winner. Basically, the best ads are the ones that, you know, nearly get banned.
Pretty much, because everyone gets talking about it, and probably being the web guide, you see a lot of links to it on websites.
Yeah.
So it becomes more than an ad. It becomes
a story.
It becomes a story.
And then everyone is doing Sportsbet's work for them, like us here on our humble podcast, talking about them and mentioning Sportsbet 4, 5, 6 times already. So I like that this ad has cut through. It's got attention, and the way to do that, you know, a way to do that and a very successful way to do that is to be controversial. But I'd like to dig a little deeper, and I don't like to get on a soapbox very often, and online gambling is neither here nor there to me. I don't do it. If others want to, that's fine. The thing about Sportsbet is I feel like they are a wolf in sheep's clothing, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because here is a company that is built on ripping money out of the pockets of everyday Joes.
Yeah.
And the way they market themselves is as your best buddy. If you look at all these ads, they're jokey, they're blokey, you know, let's have a bit of fun, let's have a pun. And they are funny. And if you look at their social media accounts, it's all hilarious. And it gets me thinking, it gets me suspicious, to be honest. I see all this larrikinism and the humour, and even when the outrage about this ad was happening, a spokesperson said, we're just injecting, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, some humour into advertising. So they hide behind this hilarious, you know, we're just having a bit of a laugh. Scratch that away, and you have a business that is raking in millions and millions of dollars from people who are throwing money just left, right, and centre on these sports games and losing it. And you know they're losing it because Sportsbet exists. Any bookmaker that's not successful stops being a bookmaker. They disappear.
Mm.
In 2015, this company raked in $117 million
wow.
in profit. Yeah. So scrape away the funny, jovial surface, and you have a cold, calculating business that is out there to just yank money out of everyone's pockets they can, and they hide behind this kind of persona of, you know, we're your best mate. They are not. They are cold-hearted mathematicians who know the angles, the odds, and they are absolutely ripping you off. The only people who are successful at gambling are not sports lovers. They're the mathematicians who know how to work out the formulas. They're the only ones who ever win in gambling, from my point of view, and it is just my opinion, so I'll stand corrected. But that's just my little rant on that one.
You should get on the soapbox more often. It was a good one, Tim. I feel bad now for liking the ad and finding it funny. One thing I've noticed, I can't tell you for sure because, as you mentioned, I'm not a online gambler either, but so I don't know if it's particular with this company, but other online betting companies, I believe, you win the money, but it's in an account and you have to go through a process to actually see that money. It's not like
that's
they'll
right.
send you a $50 in the poster.
That's right. I guess that's similar to a casino where you might be winning money. It's in the form of chips. So you at some point need to actually go through a cash out process where that credit you've won or earned is translated into real money. But, you know, obviously the thing is, the temptation is, well, no, you know, I've won a little bit. I can gamble a little bit.
I still think there's the issue, though, of criminal activity versus illegal activity in sport. To me, they're not as serious. Like, I don't think I think he's a cheater. His reputation was dragged through the mud fairly, but is he as bad as a murderer?
I mean, well, no. But
we celebrate like Chopper Reed. Like,
yeah. No, so back to Ben Johnson. I mean, personally, yeah, I don't even see him as the issue. I'm kind of more interested in revealing the true nature of sports bet. But Ben Johnson, yeah. I mean, if someone is willing to give him $200,000 to appear in for a few seconds in an ad, well, I mean, you can't knock him for taking that, really. And you're right, it's not illegal. I mean, appearing in that ad, as far as I know, is not illegal. He hasn't broken any laws.
If we ignored every cheat and every criminal, we'd miss out on a lot of humour, Tim. I'm sorry. When you told me this is what we're talking about, Mike Tyson cameos in the Hangover movies.
Oh, he does, yes.
I mean, he wasn't a cheat, but he bit a guy's ear.
Well, he did time in prison.
He was an animal. Well, there you go. He's a prisoner.
I mean, what do you call someone who's done their time? Like, he's not maybe not a criminal anymore, but he did some bad stuff.
But I find him hilarious in The Hangover.
Yeah, and look, he did the crime, he did the time, and he's free to do whatever he wants afterwards.
We've also heard that, obviously, Chappelle Corby, coming back to Australia, is now a marketable brand, according to manager Max Markson, or I don't know if he's taking control of her, probably not, but he was sort of speculating that she's going to have so many offers to do things.
Well, I mean, she's already got that name recognition. You wouldn't find anyone in Australia who doesn't know Chappelle Corby. I wonder, though, to what products could she lend her identity? I mean, who would want to get her on board? I can't really think of
sports bet. No, I don't
know. Sports bet will do it. They'll be the ones. And it'll be hilarious. Oh, guys, we're just having a laugh.
And I was picturing other people that have cheated and might be able to get into an ad campaign. Lance Armstrong, disgraced cycling champion. Mm-hmm. Whether in 20, 30 years' time he can come back to Adelaide and talk about public transport and saying, I took Adelaide for a ride 30 years ago, and now I want you to do it again or something.
Well, with the way how sped up the news cycle is, that would probably be happening within 5 years, I reckon. So I reckon you're onto a little winner there. That's a campaign, just a file in a folder and bring out in a couple of years. I reckon he'll be looking to do that. Marcus, I am the web guy of the partnership, so my job to be all over what's happening online.
Not just the serious stuff, Tim. It sounds like you see a variety of stories. Crazy, unusual.
This is definitely at the unusual end of the spectrum. But also a big deal, because what we have here is an entire country threatening to shut down Facebook.
Whoa.
Which, when you think of social media, you think Facebook. It's still the beast of the social media world. You know, if you count up everyone who's on Facebook, I think it's the biggest country in the world.
Right.
By a long shot.
Yep.
A lot of people on there. So for a country to say, no, we're going to pull the plug on Facebook is a big deal.
Wow.
I bet you want to know which country it is.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not Australia.
It's not Australia.
It's
in our neck of the woods, though.
Okay, yeah.
Thailand.
Thailand, okay.
Mm-hmm. And for what has to be said, a very bizarre reason. Basically, it has to do with their king.
Oh, I was going to say too many pictures of Pad Thai. No, is that the right country? Yeah, about their king. Okay.
Yeah, who is, you know, the head of state, a respectable figure. And, you know, Thailand doesn't take very kindly to anything that is going to, you know, demean their king or, you know, detract from the importance of his position.
No. So?
What's happened is there are photos floating around on Facebook which, you know, Thai authorities feel are inappropriate.
Right.
Basically, if you see photos of the King of Thailand, he's always in very official garments.
Gazing off into the distance.
Yeah, looking very seriously. This is the man who's got a country to run, for goodness sake.
Yes.
But what has been what's been flooding on Facebook is shots of said king strolling around somewhere, a shopping centre by the looks of it, wearing a crop top. And revealing a whole lot of tattoos on himself.
Is he in good nick? Is his stomach worthy of a crop top?
I guess so. He looks trim. Right, he looks trim.
Not the part of the story you were going at. Go on.
From what I can tell, from what I hear, the tattoos are fake, which I don't know if that makes it a weirder story than it already was or not.
Okay.
Because it's not the first time photos of this nature of him have been captured. There were other photos of him on an airstrip somewhere, again wearing a crop top, and sporting tattoos, which were different to the ones in the new photos. So the tattoos change, which would hint that maybe they are fake.
Yeah.
And so Thai authorities really got on the phone to Zuckerberg. Said, shut it down, get these photos off. We're not having any of this. Now, me, from my point of view, I feel like, well, it's probably the king's own fault. He's probably got to put his hand up. So he's the one who's getting around like
this. So they're accurate pictures. They haven't been doctored. They're him strolling around, a Westfield equivalent, stomach out, tattoos showing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And rather than maybe the king maybe not do that, the solution they've come up with is, well, no, if you're not going to get these photos off Facebook, we're just going to close the whole thing down. Seems like an overreaction.
Initially, I thought you were going to say that, you know, they'd put some sort of app on it so he had bunny ears or cool sunglasses, oversized sunglasses.
No, complete own goal. This is just how the king apparently gets around.
What a waste, though, to kill off the Facebook beast just because the king can't keep his body to himself. In a supermarket.
It would be great if the same thing happened here. I'd love to find out that actually on weekends, Malcolm Turnbull gets around in a pair of hot pants.
See, I think that would just make Facebook even more popular. There would be no way that you could ban it if we saw funny pictures like that.
Yeah, and this is why it kind of is big, because you can, it, you know, it's social media and it's a way of getting around the official, you know, it's a way of getting around officials, you know, photos that the authorities might not want you to see. This is a way, you know, you're still going to get them.
Couldn't, you know more about online activity than me.
Marginally.
Could you somehow block anything that shows that image? Like somehow it can identify his face or even the word king? Block that part.
But it gets tricky because we're talking about such a mass. Like once these photos start to go viral, you almost lose control. It's hard for anyone to really get on top of it once you're at the point where photos are just being shared, you know, I'm not sure if it's millions, but at least, you know, many, many thousands of times around the world.
Well, if I could give a story, what's it called, the like? I guess it's just the like feature of Facebook. Mm-hmm. If I could give this story, I'd give it a like, a wow face, and a face laughing with tears coming down my eyes. That's how good that one is.
Yeah, tears coming down the eyes. That's appropriate.
Tim, sometimes I think if I didn't have my young nephews, I'd have no idea what was going on in the school landscape around South Australia and Australia. At the moment, there are these things called finger spinners, I think they're called.
Oh, yeah, I know them well.
Yeah. And apparently it's causing a bit of problem in schools with kids taking them and being a bit distracted by them.
How are they finding time to use finger spinners when they're all on their phones?
I don't know.
Phone in one hand, finger spinner on the other?
My nephew had one of these at a family function recently, and I didn't really see the appeal, but I guess...
They're not aimed at our demographic.
No. Basically, you put it on your finger or any sort of stable surface, mm-hmm. and it'll spin in your hand.
And so you don't actually have to do anything. Does it involve skill?
Probably if you wanted to do something impressive, maybe. Mm-hmm. I tried to do it on my toe and on my elbow. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it.
Just right.
On the fingers.
Easier, though, than spinning a basketball on your finger.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely got a sort of balance thing happening for it. For me, back in the 80s, it was yo-yos. They were just, you know, distracting and banned because everyone was bringing them to school. And
oh, yeah, I remember yo-yos.
I reckon there was a marble craze at my brother's.
Oh, I remember marbles.
Yeah, and people, yep, stop. Yep. Everyone's getting pillaged. Yep. But there's been so many crazes recently. Kids just love to embrace them, and indeed adults across SA and Australia.
What's happened? Run me through. What's happened over the years? What things have we got really excited about?
We've got bottle flipping. Do you remember that one?
No. What was that, 1930s?
No.
Bottle flipping?
So basically, I think it had a bottle that was half like a water 600ml.
Oh, and you
had to flip it and make it.
And you video it?
Yep, and you had to make it sit on its...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a fairly recent one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So these are a list of fairly recent ones.
I know it. Don't have any personal experience.
Nah, it looked challenging, but not something I would spend hours trying to perfect.
No, well, that's the thing. You could do it 100 times, film it 100 times, and then just use the one time you got it and post that.
Yeah, that's it. There was the creepy clown craze, which was probably the worst one of all of them. People dressing up, looking like a evil clown from a movie and sort of coming up, and I don't know if they were actually assaulting people or just scaring people late at night.
I know it was really a problem in America. Did it really take off here?
No, I think there was a few incidents near Rundle Mall or something. And
yeah, that was a weird one. And that, I mean, talk about putting the crazy into craze. That was a bit of a strange one.
I think a few people got beaten up for doing it. So,
well, that's not really a craze, is it? It's more just a crime wave.
Yeah, that's it. But people don't like the clown factor of it. Another one my nephews were into were Pokemon Go. I think it was last year.
Oh, that was enormous.
It was crazy.
You would see in public places just groups of people all just hanging out in this one spot, because however the game worked, you had to be in a special spot. I'd walk down near where my house was and just see, like, at the peak of that thing, I reckon you'd walk past the park and there would have been 100 people there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in on it, so to me it was just a baffling mystery.
People would have made money out of that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Lots of money to be made by the developers of that game. Seemed to flame out pretty quick, though. I'm not sure that anyone's doing that anymore, is it?
No, it was... I liked the idea of it, but I probably would have needed something other than animated characters to get me on a bit of a treasure hunt. But I liked the feeling of going out there and searching for stuff and getting to see your local streets and...
Yeah, see,
landmarks.
I think probably didn't grab you because you're not 8 years old.
Stomach core muscles, I have none. So the planking craze was not for me.
Planking, yeah, that's a great one. That is a real blast from the not-so-distant past. So I guess it was a few years ago, wasn't it? It was like a show of strength almost, like people would have plank-offs almost, like where it's two guys like trying to balance themselves on something. Who can last there the longest?
And a bit of courage and stupidity where you'll do it. Train lines on the balcony of multi-story buildings.
I vaguely remember a story of someone planking at a funeral, and I feel like maybe that almost marked the end of that craze.
It
was downhill after.
We laid it to rest in a horizontal position.
Gangnam
Style. By the way, I'm taking all these from the local paper, so I'm not... Yeah, I think
these weren't your personal favourites.
No, I think we should attribute it to someone else doing the hard work at remembering all these. But
well, these ones feel like have been picked from the last 5 years. Yo-yos and marbles, you know, that's going back a couple of decades. But Gangnam, yeah, I mean, sure, it was a huge song. And there was a stage where anyone under 20 was doing the dance. what was that? Like, I'm riding a horse?
Yeah, like sort of riding a imaginary horse with a... Yeah.
Groundbreaking, though. Isn't it?
Yeah. And just finally, it was a good fundraiser, but the ice bucket challenge, I did like it, but when it filters down from personalities and celebrities and then, I don't know.
Joe Blow's doing it.
It just got to Joe Blow's doing it for no real reason, whereas initially it was for...
Yeah,
some really good causes, but
yeah, you'd have to say it was a success, though. You know, and there's been a lot of copycats probably since. You know, a viral way to, you know, raise money, but that was probably the original and the best.
Finger spinners, they're not going to last, but fun for the kids at the moment.
I'm tipping by the time we speak again next week, finger spinners will just be a distant, long gone memory.
Money does not buy you class. That's probably the lesson to come from what I think is a bit of a beat-up story, but we'll have a chat about it because we don't mind a beat-up, Tim. The Adelaide Crows CEO, Andrew Fagan, has written a letter to members of their exclusive premiership club, that sit in dining and corporate areas on match day about appropriate behaviour, mainly about guests of these members and their behaviour on match day. It's provoked or inspired an article in the local press. What's your thoughts on whether people who pay a lot of money should be immune to footy language?
My gut instinct is give me a break. Turn it up.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like you know what you're going in for when you go to the football. Football is a pretty unique Aussie event, and whether you're sitting in the nosebleed section or in the, you know, hoity-toity, whatever this was, I've never seen it in my life, wouldn't know where it is, but supposedly there's this secret spot where the bigwigs go. Wherever you are, it's a footy game, and people are going to get into it and be a bit passionate about it, be a bit vocal. They may even say a cuss word every now and then.
At the footy, no.
And I think, you know, let's just grow up, like get over it. But I guess it's hard to say without having been in that room at that time. I think this centres on a specific incident. Hard to know without being there really what the guy's behaviour was like. I mean, if it was, there's footy behaviour, and then there's, you know, then there is a line, and once you've crossed it, it is inappropriate. Hard to know if he crossed the line or not, but based on the fact of where you're sitting should have any bearing on how you behave. I don't get it. I think if you want to go somewhere that's if you want to have a night out of just some civil, polite socialising, don't go to the football. Go to the opera.
I guess AFL has evolved to the point where corporate is a massive part of the game, and business networking and things like these in these exclusive dining rooms and corporate areas. These members are paying close to $7,000, I believe, for the privilege to be part of this club. But you're right, how do you stop human nature and really getting into the sport? It's a tough one. We did hear from Philippa, who's an Adelaide supporter, and she said she made a complaint to the club. Whether this was the direct one that inspired this message to head out of club management, but she was saying she was there with her six-year-old son. She didn't want him to hear that sort of swearing or a swear word. But as you said earlier, she's going to have to put her earplugs in him because there's swearing all around the ground.
And probably worse than what you're hearing in that little cushy spot. Head out into the outer, and I think you're in for a real lesson in that case. But I guess the bottom line, the cold truth is, I personally feel like any behaviour in that exclusive little club is fine. Let loose, be outrageous, whatever you want, anything flies, I don't care, go for your life until I'm invited in there. And then once I'm in there, come on guys, let's be a bit civil here, get it together. But until I'm actually in there, they can just do what they want. I'm not too bothered.
I was going to say, have you been into a corporate facility, the football? You've been lucky enough?
Yeah, I have, only a couple of times. Been very lucky enough to go into some nice spots. And it's maybe I can't identify because I'm not a real fervent, passionate football follower. I kind of get there and have a bit of a look, and it's fun, and you know, have a refreshment. But I'm not a yeller and a shouter.
Right. The few times I've been lucky enough to get into a corporate area, I have felt like I need to behave, and I've put on a shirt, maybe even some pants with a belt,
opposed to normally when you
beanie and, you know,
hot pants.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But my problem is, I don't think there's any problem with the club saying, yeah, please try to stick to the behaviour that we expect. But
what about in the general admin? I know there's a bit of a push to stamp swearing out of, you know, the spectating experience, and I think they encourage spectators to report people around who are swearing. But from what I hear, from my experience, that doesn't happen. Like there's still swearing, surely. Like where are we at with that?
Yeah, I think it's a slow process, but I think people over time will gradually change their behaviour. I must admit, I sat with a friend probably 15 years ago at the football, and he said something very racist. Very racist. And
this was your friend said it?
Yeah, not friends, actually friends with him anymore.
Former friend.
Yeah, but didn't get in any trouble. There was not, he was saying funny comments and then he took it too far and there was no laughter at that point. This is back at Amy's Stadium days. But I think now someone like that who just thought he was being funny would realise, no, I can actually be held accountable for my behaviour in the crowd.
And that was probably before the days when everybody was a reporter as well, and anything you did was probably going to get captured by someone on a phone, and then you wake up the next morning and boom, it's on every TV, it's headline news.
Yeah, so back to your point, I think there is a slight change in behaviour, but when you are a heated, passionate supporter, things just slip out and you definitely have to watch what you say. One of the interesting observations you made before we started this podcast, Tim, was about the image of the Crows and where this article on this was going. And I think you're right that people like to play on a certain image about the Crows. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Well, yeah, this story plays nicely into the idea that the Crows supporters, I guess in contrast really to Port Adelaide supporters, because this is the split down the middle of the city, the two teams, and in contrast, Crows supporters are traditionally a bit more fancy, a bit posh, and so this story plays nicely into that idea that you've got these, you know, highbrow Crows supporters who can't handle a little bit of rough language.
Wearing their monocles.
Yeah, wearing them and do up their waistcoat and head out and for going, a night at the football. But what I actually think, and I think there is some truth in that, and I think it's because the Crows have more supporters. They have a bigger supporter base. So, of course, they're going to collect more affluent. Probably also, you know, if you broke it down, this would be interesting, but my hunch would be the Crows probably have more fans who are plumbers as well, because they just have a bigger base, so they catch a lot more of everyone. But I'm a Westie, so I'm with Port Adelaide, so I don't really care what goes on at the Crows games. If you want to get, if anyone is listening and can secretly get into a special Crows spot and then just run a mark, we'll get you on this podcast. We'll do an interview and we'll really pump you up. Massive white collar crime this week, Marcus, as opposed to the other kinds of crime.
Dirty collar, blue collar.
Yep.
No collar.
This one was done in an office, I guess. Anyway, however it was done, it was worth $165 million, basically. And what it turns out has happened is the son of a very high up official in the tax office, I think it is actually the deputy commissioner, turns out he was at least part of, and apparently quite high up in a fraud ring that was basically defrauding the tax office of millions and millions of dollars.
Amazing stuff, really, and probably not the best organisation to try cheat, really, the tax office.
No, they probably are on the lookout for that kind of stuff, aren't they? It's just a matter of time, you feel like. If you're taking them on, you're going to get done at some point. Now, the son, the kid, well, he is really a kid. He's only 30. He's 30 now. So presumably he was somewhere in his 20s. This has been going on for a few years, I think, they suspect. So in his 20s, decides to take on the tax office, was buying sports cars, watches, overseas holidays, guns, I think, as well. Splashing cash on the girl that he was seeing at the time, sending her overseas, sending her family overseas. I mean,
a couple of telltale signs there for daddy.
Should the dad have known? And here's the other thing. The dad has been stood down. I think he might get charged with abusing a public office. He's not part of the fraud, but at some point his son did ask him to access, quote, some information. So he's, you know, used his spot in the tax office to get some kind of info through to his son. He should have known something was up, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not looking good for him and indeed his family. What are these guys? We're both law-abiding citizens. This 30-year-old, was he enjoying this lifestyle? Did he think, is he always looking over his shoulder, or is it just... as great as it seems.
Well, I know I wouldn't be able to enjoy it. No. I'd be looking over both shoulders at the same time somehow.
Wow, that's...
But by the looks of the photos that we've seen of him, yeah, he was living it up. Porsches and, you know, fancy watches. But, yeah, I couldn't enjoy it because you know that they're going to be onto you, surely. Yeah.
What sort of jail time, I guess, a couple of years for that? Perhaps on reflection when he's an old man, he'll say, well, I was never going to be that rich normally, so to have all that luxurious lifestyle and paid the time.
He'll have a fair yarn to tell in the nursing home. But, I mean, the potentially the biggest white-collar crime in Australia's history, I mean, he'll get a lot of years, won't he? I mean...
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of time he will serve, but...
And his dad's career at the tax office is finished, you'd suspect.
Yeah, it's all pretty tough for that family, but I guess, as I mentioned before, if you mess with the tax office, these things will happen. It's just interesting that these things still can happen. It seems almost like a movie script, really.
Oh, there'll be a movie for sure. Absolutely. I could imagine, I think Jonah Hill will be signed up to play the lead. Don't know who will direct it, but it's got movie written all over it for sure.